So let us pray. May I speak in your name, and may we all hear your word to us this day. O God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was preparing this service earlier in the week, on the news, the cardinal electors were just heading into the Sistine Chapel to begin the conclave of electing a new pope. It remained to be seen at that time whether by this point we would know who the pope was or not. It made it very hard. We write a service in Haywards Heath for those who can't get there, and it made it very hard being able to talk about it, not having any idea what the situation would be by today. But of course we know that in the meantime they have elected Pope Leo XIV. However, in that run-up and as they were locked away in their deliberations, everybody was speculating about what kind of pope they should elect. Who is needed for this current time, for this world as we find it? What kind of voice do we need? Do we need somebody who is far more conservative? Do we need somebody who is far more progressive? Do we need somebody who will quietly go about the work of being pope? Do we need somebody who would challenge those in authority? Questions not just about who should be the next pope, but it speaks to what does the church need to be for our world and our context today. They're questions that not just those 130 cardinals need to wrestle with, but they are questions that we all need to think about. What kind of church is needed for our current age, for our current context? A church anniversary is a good opportunity to be reflecting on those questions, because we have thought about how an anniversary encourages us to look back to all those who have gone before, but it should also encourage us to look forward to what the church is called to be in this time, in this place. We can't go back to how things used to be, as much as we might sometimes want to. So who are we called to be? John records that at the festival of the dedication, Jesus was walking in the porticos of the temple. He had been talking about how he was the good shepherd. And this group come up to him and say, well, if you are the Messiah, can you stop making it so complicated and just tell us plainly, are you or aren't you? And in Jesus' answer, we see that sense that it's not in clever responses that people come to faith. He says, the works that I do in my Father's name testify to who I am. It's not about what I say, because no matter how many times I've said things, you don't seem to understand. But if you don't get what I say, look at what I'm doing. And what do we see Jesus doing as we look through the Gospels? We see Jesus when he finds he's teaching a group of people and they are hungry after a long day sitting and listening. He doesn't send them away hungry, but he seeks to feed them. We see Jesus when he comes across people who carry all kinds of diseases or disabilities or things that rob them of the wholeness of life. He offers them healing and that wholeness that they crave. when he comes across people who are shunned because of the work that they do or past actions, he spends time and he eats with them and he offers them hope. He offers them worth and value. When all the powers of darkness raged around him and it would be easy to run away, he journeyed into that very darkness, dying our death on the cross to shed the new light of resurrection in our world. They are the deeds that we see bearing witness to who he is. That those who are open to seeing, those who are open to being part of his flock, recognize are the works of God in their midst. And so, who are we called to be? We see that same calling going through not just the Gospels, but into the book of Acts, where Luke tells us of this lady called Tabitha. We know very little about her. We first come across her when she dies. And as Peter goes to the house, the people who are gathered and grieving are not saying to him, she was a very clever teacher. She came up with all sorts of intellectual arguments. They're not saying, she can quote all of Scripture to us. She doesn't even seem to know all of Charles Wesley's hymns. But what they remembered, what they were grieving, was here was somebody who spent her life alongside those who had nothing, providing clothes, doing what bit she could do to show something of the love of God to them. And so it continues through the church, through all of the 2,000 plus years of our history. We see time and again that calling of the church to be those people who see those who are hungry and seek to feed them, whilst at the same time challenging those injustices in our society that means people today still go hungry. We're called to be those people who see those who are so often shunned and ignored by others, and to sit down with them, to share food with them, to hear their stories, that they too might discover their value and worth as children of God. We're called to be people who are open to seeing those who have been robbed of the wholeness of life and offering what we have to restore some of that wholeness to them. Out at the top of your stairs are all those plaques and memorabilia of this church that speak of this place and the people who have been part of it, of hosting the World Methodist Council, of people who have gone off to be missionaries, of people who have given their lives in world wars, people who have served in all sorts of ways, showing by their actions the faith that they hold. We are now called to pick up that baton, to be those people who in this time and this place continue to put our faith into action, to be those people of hope, people of welcome, radical welcome, people of good news, of life and love for all people. that those around our community come to know that they too are children made in the image of God, whoever they are, that they too have potential, have value and worth. They too have a purpose. They too have something to offer. It is a challenging calling, for as we mix and meet with others, we need ourselves to be open to be changed by them, to discover something new of God in their faces, in their lives. As that song, that hymn that we sang earlier says, to shape the circle ever wider, to recognize that there is always more to God and what it means to be the people of God than any one of us can hold or can know. If that sometimes feels like it is too hard in an age where people seem so often not to want to know about God, not to want to hear about the good news, then we hear a few verses from the book of Revelation. It's not a book I often turn to, but it is one of the readings set for today. And in this revelation, John sees the company of heaven. And he writes this: after this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And as John wonders who these people are, this angel with him says they are the ones who have gone before, who have persevered in the faith. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so as we seek to be the people of God in this time, in this place, may we remember that we do so joining with all those who have gone before us. For in God, the church in heaven and on earth is one. We are one people. As we worship God, we do so joining with all those who have gone before us in this place, in other places that we have been part of. The worldwide church, we are worshiping God together. And we hear that promise from Jesus that no one can snatch us from his hands. And so today, as we celebrate our anniversary, as we look back on all that has been and trust God for all that is to come, may we seek to go on being those people of God, people of hope, of good news for all whom we meet, that all might come to know that they are loved by God, until we all gather at the throne of God and of the Lamb who is our shepherd in praise and worship forever. Amen.